Welcome back to The Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
And this is Era's Torsology. Maybe the worst name for an episode of all time.
Torsology. It sounds like something that they offer at the community college.
It's something you don't want to take, but nope, you have to. It's like a compulsory class.
Required.
Everyone's fallen asleep. It's not a good place to be. But that's not what's happening today. Because today we have juice. We have morsels. Too much, actually. Too much to get into, really.
Oh, we've got a fucking full-blown feast for the snakes today. And I have to be honest with you. I don't think the snakes can finish the mouse. I almost didn't finish the mouse when it was happening in real time. I almost went to bed. I was like, I know this is a joke. I'm going to bed.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
I thought I was being trolled.
You know, our first... Madeline and I were trying to avoid spoilers so that we could react after the show was done. However, nobody wants to just let us fucking rock. So we kept getting interrupted by spoilers. Madeline found out that Miss Americana was the tour opener and she texted me and was like, someone told me this and it can't be true. She was like, it's a troll. It's not real.
So it almost wasn't a spoiler because I was like, yeah, right. I was like, yeah, right. So I was just as shocked. Well, not just as shocked as I would have been if I had never had any clue, but I was still shocked. I was like, you're kidding.
I really had no clue. I didn't, because Madeline didn't share that spoiler with me. So I was like, I don't know. So Madeline went in before I did and I asked her to just, you know, send me, we were doing a gag counter. I was like, text me when there's a gag. Text me a turkey emoji. The minute she starts, I get 10 texts. Gag, turkey.
I really was gagged. And it was a gag to like see it actually like on the screen. She was serving the cunt of the century. Like this was a massive cunt serve, like the likes of which I've never seen. It was amazing.
We haven't seen it since 2016. No. To be honest. But I think that before we get into it, we have to give a massive shout out to all of the snakes who worked on this collaborative Google Doc to help us react to this. We know it was a bitch and a bore and a pain in the ass. And I think there was some squabbling between the snakes themselves while they were on the dock. So thank you, Anna. Anna was the hero. She was the one that was like messaging us, telling us when it was safe to go in. Anna, we love you. You are a real one. You really are.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks everybody so much, especially Anna, especially everybody actually, because let me tell you something. I really enjoyed obviously things didn't go the way that we thought, but I really enjoyed going through a clip is all I really needed because the serve was got with just a 15 second clip. Mm-hmm. I was like, I see everything I need to see to react. Mm-hmm. At least
I see it all.
So thanks, everybody, because that was super fun, actually, to do that. You know what? Next tour, I'm going to opening night. I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah, no more.
I'm going to opening night. Goodbye. Goodbye. I never have before because I'm like, whatever. This, I feel like, would have been the tour to go to opening night for. And the FOMO was very real as it was going on because I was like, this is the gag of the century.
So this is in different areas.
If I had been there, I'm telling
you. It's in different areas.
Yeah. There are multiple moments that would have really put me in the hospital.
Shocked me.
Yeah.
Shocked me multiple times. I mean, it was so, so we're going to go through, today we're going to go through the set list and we are going to go piece by piece through the tour, what we can, because Universal Music Group, like the fucking vulture bats that they are going through on YouTube and taking everything down. So we've seen as much as we can, but there are some songs that I think both of us haven't seen in full. Hopefully we'll fill each other's gaps because I feel like I've seen more of the parts of the show that you haven't seen. Okay. And you've definitely seen more of the Evermore stuff and stuff that I didn't care to watch all the way through. So you have definitely seen that. And you know, if you want to keep up with further, I mean, we have so much to talk about with tour and so many surprises to come that you really should, if you're not already on the Patreon, patreon.com/riftologist, we're going to be talking about it in our next Taylor Talk. We take voicemails from you guys. We answer your questions. It's going to be so good. And the Patreon has been going so well. You're all so funny and smart. We're getting really good conversations going over there. It's super fun. Right, yeah. Madeline?
You need to log in. you need to log in immediately because I go on there and I say stuff that, you know, would shock the general population. But the good thing is that it's only for the Patreon. So I'm a free agent and I say what I want. I say this for as if I'm like snakes. Saying like the most shocking things ever.
This is our truth social.
Yeah,
app.
It's just, you know, my opinion on Taylor Swift and various.
We
you know,
literally.
Yeah.
We are Donald Trump on Truth Social. App,
okay,
app,
let,
where we
let's
can really
let's
be free.
That it's like the it, you know, the Patreon is kind of like the QAnon of the Taylor Swift, you know, message boards, if you will, in that we dig for the truth. Mm-hmm. We dig for the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's all there is to
whether
it.
Or not it's true.
Whether or not it's true. These are conspiracy theories. We are theorists and we're doing what we do.
There is one thing we don't allow on the Patreon, but we won't get into that. Let's go through the set list. So it's going to be so hard to talk about this, but I guess we'll go through each opener. Madeline and I have also prepared songs that we would like to cut and songs that we would like to add in. So we're going through this tour with a creative director's eye. What kind of tweaks and changes would we make? What are opportunities where we could have gone further? I think we should just say off the top because, it, again, the tolerance to any sort of, I'm not even going to say negative, not overwhelmingly positive commentary on anything at the moment has gotten so bad. So I'm just going to say off the top that like the Eras Tour is incredible. It is truly a triumph. It is a tour de force. It is 44 songs. She is doing something most pop, no pop star has done before. This length, this scale, it's truly incredible. We're just coming at this from an analytical perspective. And we're also thinking about ways that we might have changed stuff as longtime fans who have opinions on the Eras.
Well, I also totally agree. Like, obviously, this is like a fucking once in a lifetime show. But I mean, the thing is that I don't think anybody's completely interested in listening to something where all we do is that's amazing, that's amazing, that's amazing. I mean, there's nothing on here in the tour that I would say is like, I would not use the term bad. Like, let's be very clear. But, you know, it's fun to, you know, pick stuff apart. That's what people come to the Evolution of a Snake for. And that's what we're going to do. I love the tour. I cannot wait to go. Just both of us saying that before we get into it, because that's the truth. I can't. Otherwise, I'm gagging to go, girly. Trust me. Mm-hmm.
This is in different areas. And there were, as you will see throughout our video, multiple moments that are complete, total gags, mm-hmm. no notes. And I guess we can start. The tour starts with a fucking no notes moment. Mm. This opening is, it's like the opening of the Olympics. It's a huge fucking deal. When I saw those dancers come out with those massive tails, I don't even know what they are. Are they feathers? Are they petals? When I saw them walking out with that, I was like, oh my God, we are about to get shot at point blank range.
I also was gagged by the way that they lay them down and she comes out of them. That gagged me. That really gagged me. Also,
gagged
it's been
me.
A long time coming, being the first fucking thing that she says when she rises up out of the platform. I mean, you can't deny. I mean, at first I was like, why the hell would she open with Miss Americana? But as I thought about it more, I was like, mm-hmm. why wouldn't she? at this point.
Why? It's where we left off.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, it's where we left off. Yeah, yep. Let's go from there. Yep. From literally mm-hmm. the last pre-pandemic big Taylor Swift moment was the Miss Americana documentary release. It was literally released mm-hmm. like 2 weeks before we went into lockdown. So I feel like that was actually the perfect place to pick back up on because we are somewhat like back to normal life, all of that. And something that was very clear, I guess, from the beginning of the show was that she definitely did want to give those albums that didn't get a chance to be toured a good shake. She wanted to give them their like full moment. And I'm not even mad at that when it comes to the Lover section, shockingly, because I think she actually chose the right songs. But this opener is, you're right, Madeline, when she comes up from under the stage like that and the petals reveal and then she goes up on that block, it is... It's Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. Or we're like, you know, the Romans and the Colosseum, yep. and she's a gladiator and she's going to fucking kill everyone on the stage.
Mm-hmm. I have no notes. I'm just gagged. That's all there is to it.
She looked so good. Mm-hmm. She looked so good that I was like, oh my God, that's my Nazi Barbie. She looked.
She literally was giving the performance of a lifetime. You know, I don't know, what would you call that? A bodysuit, I guess you would call that. I think it's perfect. Mm-hmm. It's really like, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's like a wow, but like she looks really fucking good in it. And it's like almost simple in its own sort of way. Do you know what I mean? And when she puts the jacket on over it, you know, that's also kind of a serve for, you know, the man.
The shoes. We love a boot.
We love a boot. And this tour loves a boot too. Mm-hmm. That's all she's
So we love that for ourselves.
Yep.
She is booting and shooting. Mm-hmm. And I loved the hair is so good. The hair is excellent. She got a great blowout.
Yeah.
Red era.
It looks really fucking good. That was not supposed to. Her hair has not been this long. I don't think it was even that long during Red. Like, this is the longest it's been in like a hot second. And I'm living for it. I love it.
It looks amazing. Yep. She is serving body, obviously, as always. I guess we have to talk about Cruel Summer because we've never talked about that before. I mean, that is – I've been waiting for this moment. This is everything that I have ever wanted for Cruel Summer. I didn't want no dancers. I wanted her strutting, stomping on the stage, serving fucking cunt, and screaming at the top of her lungs. And that's exactly what I got.
And that's all we really wanted.
I mean, I don't know what to say. The best part for me is when she goes, he looks up grinning like the devil, and the screens kind of show up in a panel really fast. That sends me in with different angles of her saying it. That sends me into a state of cardiac arrest.
You know, it's really funny because I was aware that she played Cruel Summer. I reacted to it, but it wasn't until this morning when I was looking for tour videos that I actually watched the bridge. Like, I forgot about like the gag of the century. And when I watched it, I was like, oh my God. And it's literally just the
bridge.
It's literally just the bridge, but it sends me into cardiac arrest. You know, when she goes, what does she say? She says, I think she says, let's go. Like right before she does the.
She says 1, 2, 3, go.
Yeah. That's fucking
something like that.
Something to munch on.
And I'm ready. I'm ready. I love that she does a pause before the bridge. And she says, this is the first bridge of the night, which is so cute. Love that.
Yeah.
True. Because we're all here for the bridges. Mm-hmm. And what a fucking bridge to start on. Seriously, that's a high. Fever dream high. Mm-hmm. She seemed... In the videos from night one, she seemed really nervous during Cruel Summer. Did you kind of get that from her?
Yeah, especially when you compare it to night two. Like, it's really clear that night two, she's a lot more laid back. And, like, I totally get it because obviously she hasn't been on a stage that big in, you know, 5 years. And second of all, it's the first night of the tour and there was a lot of moving pieces. So I'm sure she was just like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Girding herself up to be on stage for 3 fucking hours. Yeah. Unprecedented behavior from her. I noticed also that when she popped up from under the stage, I saw a specific angle of it where she was like, she kind of like, you know how Michelle Williams like had a little like boop when she popped up at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Taylor had that too. She
really?
Was like, oh! And then the lights angle. Came on and she like, plugged in. She was like, boop, here I go. But she seemed to be really getting into it in the last, I will say, Cruel Summer, I had always said, is an impossible song to sing live for any artist. It's mostly shouting. And also that chorus has really fast runs that are really, really high. And I will say, when she sings the word summer, it doesn't sound very good.
She is up there giving it her 100%. And for that, I say kudos to you. It's kind of like the I Know Places end of the second verse of I Know Places. Like, I always
knew
she was never going to do that. And that's fine. I respect it because it's not like I'm getting up there doing it. Fuck no, I'm not. I will be
exactly.
in the audience. And it won't even matter when I'm there because it's like, I mean, I'd probably barely be able to hear over all
and she's
shit.
Singing live.
Yeah.
Not everybody can say that.
Everybody can say that.
I think we, in general, I'm surprised there isn't more track being used on this tour just because she's singing so much for so long. I would think that just in the interest of preserving her voice, she might use a little bit more track. Cruel Summer is a good example of somewhere where she could use it, because that is a song that would like tax her voice. Mm-hmm. Like it's a lot, it's high, it's a lot of, it's loud. So I would think that there would be, I mean, there is some, you can hear some of it on the chorus, but she's singing.
Yeah.
She's singing.
I wonder if we're going to see less of that, like further on in the tour, as like it starts to like, you know, maybe in, when does the tour end? Does anybody know? July? August?
August.
Probably in July, she's going to start being like, man, I got to take a little break, which I, you know,
I can't
support.
Surely.
Surely.
Well, also Taylor always gets sick on tour. Always.
Oh, well, in this, yeah, that's kind of.
Not in this economy,
no,
hopefully.
Not in this economy. Not in this fucking economy. I don't really want to think about that. My show is towards the end, so.
No.
I really don't want to think about that.
Not thinking about it. So gag of the century, literally gag of the century. Outfit, hair, body, performance, no notes. Truly. And the visuals on the screen, so pretty. I love the pink. Like, it was a very elevated Lover aesthetic to me.
Yeah.
Not as childish.
I think that it could have gone two ways. And I definitely think she chose to do the more sophisticated way with flowers, you know, just hues of pink, no like, you know, exaggerated hearts like where it clears, et cetera, et cetera. I would have been fine with that. I mean, I would have, you know, eaten it up, but I'm happy that this is what we got.
Me too. It's more, yeah, like you said, it's more sophisticated. Yeah. So into the next song, The Man. I'm sure everybody is expecting me to dunk on this, but you know what? It fucking served.
Yeah, I mean, sure, whatever. I don't.
It served. I watched the full performance, the way that she introduces it as well. She's like, I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. You love me because I'm strong. You love me because I'm blah, blah, blah. What I'm trying to say is, I guess you love me because I'm the man. And then we get straight into it. She's got the girl boss glittery jacket on. She's forcing her dancers to dress like the cast members of Oliver Twist in these drab gray colors while she stands out in her bedazzled, bejeweled jacket. And she sticks those Louboutins up and she says, look at these red bottoms.
Yeah. That was the first thing I saw of it. Like when I the clip pulled up and I didn't know what it was yet, I saw the fucking red bottom Louboutins. I was like, oh, here we go. And then obviously the man came in and I was like, okay, I guess, you know.
The man is good. Live.
You gotta give it its props, I reckon.
And she clearly loves this song. She loves this song because she really thinks she's like making a point still. Mm-hmm. Like she really, it's like you are the most successful pop star in the world, regardless of your gender. Some might even say that you wouldn't be this successful if you were not a woman. It's actually played to your strengths to be. So, I mean, the point that you've been held back because of that specifically, I mean, there are moments where, however, does it ring entirely true to her specifically? No. But I'm sure all the girl bosses in the crowd were getting their fucking lives.
And you know, that's the thing, is that I think it's going to be a really fun song to hear live and to just like go the fuck off to. I mean, come on. It's the truth. If she were a man, she would be the man. We know that. We can't lie.
I can't wait. What's it like to brag about getting bitches and models?
If I was out, you know, flashing my dollars, as she is literally on her billion-dollar tour, she'd be a bitch, not a baller. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. And she is a bitch, but she's also a baller.
Yeah.
The duality of a woman. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Up next, we have You Need to Calm Down, which flop.
I always knew that she was going to do it, so I was just kind of like, whatever. I mean, obviously, she's doing You Need to Calm Down. There's nothing, you know, remarkable about it. She's just doing You Need to Calm Down. There she is, strutting down the catwalk. You Need to Calm Down. And that's wonderful. I can't wait to be there. To say Shade literally never made anybody less gay. We can't deny it.
You know what?
Shade has never done anything
it's
for anybody.
True. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or I actually can't wait to be there when we hear, like, I always love when Taylor gets philosophical. So I can't wait to hear her incredibly introspective and philosophical line. Why are you mad when you could be glad?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a fair question.
I can't wait to be there.
Answer it.
And think it, yeah. You know, like really sit there mm-hmm. and think, why? I should ask myself that when I get all these hate comments. Why am I mad?
When I could
just
glad.
Be glad. double A. Mm-hmm. So you need to calm down to me. I mean, whatever. I'm sure it is kind of fun. I like the guitar that she adds into You Need to Calm Down Live, because the the recorded track is almost unlistenable to me. But the live version, she adds in a really kind of like meaty guitar. Mm-hmm. And I like
sounds
that.
Good. Yeah, I thought the same thing. There's another one that sounds really good with the guitar, but we'll get into that later. When the time
ooh,
comes.
I know which one you're talking about. Up next is Lover, which is the fifth song, the fourth song. And I mean, I love Lover. It's a good, as she says in her introduction speech, this is a good old fashioned love song. And so it is.
Well, as many of you know, that's a song I walked down the aisle to. In response to that, I actually don't listen to it a lot anymore because I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. I used to like really
does
love it.
Does it evoke memories when you hear it?
Yeah.
I remember you wrote for this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wrote for it. This was in my top. I would not say it's even in my top 10 anymore. I was walking down the aisle, my earring broke and they didn't turn the song off at the right time. So if things went wrong, I mean, I think in a couple years, I'll think it's funnier than it is. But like still to this day, I'm irritated at how my aisle walk went because it didn't go perfectly and it pisses me off. I think that's honestly why. So that sucks. I mean,
that's
whatever.
Valid.
Yeah, it's valid. And I have the broken earring right beside me because I was supposed to return them and I never did. This was the earring, everybody. This was the earring that broke as I was ascending to go get fucking married. It's a fish skeleton. And if anybody knew who I got married to, that would make sense to you. And it broke.
Yes, cute.
So,
well,
some more.
Well, thank you, Taylor, for ruining Madeline's wedding.
Yes, thank
day.
You very much for ruining my wedding day, et cetera, et cetera. As for
Lover Live,
yep. As for Lover Live,
old-fashioned, good fun.
Yep. I again, this was one. Of course, she's gonna play that song. I love it. The only thing that, bothered me about the performance is that she put the Lover House up on the screen. And I was like, now why is that there? Let's talk about that. But of course later on in the show, you know, it gets its just desserts. So
it gets lit on fire and burned the fuck down. Lover was cute. Yeah, I mean crowd pleasing moment. That's a real fun one to sing along to. I think we could have used more Taylor acoustic guitar.
You mean like
the show. I mean, there is a lot of it, but yeah, in this kind of context, I mean, actually, no, there should have been an electric guitar. I was kind of sad there was no electric guitar moment. Plenty of opportunities for it. I think it could have absolutely served to have an electric guitar interlude on Look What You Made Me Do, but that's a note for later on. So yeah, Lover, good. And then we get into my first cut of the evening. So Madeline and I.
Oh, hold
made
on. Wait, we're doing that right now?
To the set.
Because I have already had cuts.
Yeah, we're doing it as we go
for
through.
For fuck's sake. Well, I would have cut
what
the
would
man.
You cut?
I would have cut
please
the man.
Do your cuts.
I cut.
Would you have replaced it with something?
Oh, no, it wasn't the man. It was the archer. Okay, so never mind. We're on the same page, baby.
Yeah, well, we're on the same
we're
page.
We're on the same page.
The archer, it's like for the fucking Eras tour, when we are trying to do. Like, it's a waste of space to me. And it's not like she did anything interesting with the staging. Mm-hmm. She's literally just walking around. If you're going to do a transition song, I could think of more interesting ones to pick. But in fact, I would just end the Lover segment with Lover. Like, period. Just end it there. And then let's make the Fearless section a little bit longer.
I said that it should be London Boy. Maybe just because I wanted it. I also think that it would have been, I just thought that
agreed.
It
I love
seemed
London Boy.
Odd to me to end the Lover section on such a low note. Do you know what I mean? It's like, why don't we go out with a bang for
yes.
Lover with London Boy? Because that would have been so much mm-hmm. fun. And I think the staging for that could have been really cute. It's, to me, it's a shocking omission, in my opinion. Maybe a lot of people don't feel that way, but I was really surprised. She loves her London Boy. So let's see it. I'm not getting that.
Show me.
You're not proving that to me right now. Mm-hmm. I don't think you love your London Boy. And you need to prove it.
What you're giving is mm-hmm. I only like my London Boy. I mm-hmm. need you to love him and I need to hear mm-hmm. about. And I just think everybody needs to be reminded. It's important to know that it doesn't have to be Libby V up on Bond Street.
People need to be reminded of that. I mean, the people that I have seen who genuinely think it has to be Louis V up on Bond Street is disgusting. And I think we need to address it.
And they don't go to the pub. It's mm-hmm. time to like clear up some rumors. Well,
yeah.
Stupid bitch. Up next is the Fearless segment. And the intro to this was so, I loved it so much. I was so nostalgic having like Amos and Paul come out and do an extended guitar solo, like the middle-aged men they are, living their superstar rock star dreams with, you know, the girl they met in cowboy boots with fucking ringlets in her hair. The stage with that gold kind of like fireworks coming down.
I love it.
And then the little door popping open and then the snare drum, the beginning snare drum of Fearless. And then she just skips out with her fucking sparkly guitar. I mean, I was close to tears. I was close to tears when I saw that.
To me, Fearless is definitely the most nostalgic part of the Eras tour. I mean, even though she does do songs from Red, she really just does like the big pop songs from Red. And so to me, mm-hmm. it's not quite as nostalgic. Talking about, you know, instances where she could have had her, you know, electric guitar. If she had done more of like the Red and the State of Graces from Red, I think that we would have gotten that. And the same if she had paid Speak Now even a iota of dust, we would have received Mine and Sparkfly and the electric guitar as well. That's neither here nor there. For Fearless, it is the most nostalgic part of the tour. And it's like, if it wasn't for the Fearless segment, I don't think she could call it the Eras tour. Because that's,
no,
you know what I mean?
Definitely not.
So it's definitely one of my
favorite
parts.
And the Fearless segment is three songs, which is really disappointing to me because Fearless Taylor's version is out. She's kicking. She's out there. She's alive. I love the sparkle guitar. Important note that that's not the original sparkle guitar. I saw it and I was like, you are an imposter.
Yeah. Well, did you see her Instagram story where it was her, Andrea and Scott like made it?
Her mom and dad.
But it's like interesting to me because I guess it isn't in the museum. Her original one.
Yeah,
so that's
I was thinking about this. This is so crazy.
Break that out of the glass.
All those things are like, I guess they're not functioning instruments anymore. They're like set. They're like museum pieces. Like they need to be preserved. Isn't that crazy to think about
really
that?
Really fucking. So now she can just never play that guitar again. I'd be like, I'm not giving that to you. Then what about the koi guitar? Is that in? Is that preserved? Go fuck yourself.
When was the last time you saw it being played?
All right. Well, that's interesting.
Like. The guitars on this tour were a huge letdown. The 12 string, how about that? I didn't see her.
Some
eras, I didn't see the Koa guitar.
Eras, and we don't have any 12 string guitars. There's not a single ukulele or ganjo to be seen. I find that interesting.
Yeah, where's the fucking ganjo?
I find that very interesting.
It really isn't the Eras tour. It's more the Lover Folklore Evermore Midnight's tour featuring a couple of songs from other places. Like, it's not the Eras tour. Sorry. So Fearless is amazing. I love the hand heart, love the guitar, love the spin. Did you love the spin?
You know, when I saw that,
she hasn't done that in a while.
That was probably one of the more emotional moments. I put it on my Instagram story. I think about it all the time. I saved it on my phone. I have the video because I just like to watch it. Thank you.
That's my girl.
You know, that was a really special moment, which again, you know, that's why the Fearless segment is the Eras tour. That's the Eras tour right there. That's it. Now
it is. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Then it ends. But I love how the stage becomes the sparkly guitar too. Mm-hmm. That was an idea that I put forth in my video.
Interesting. Wow.
Mm. But you know what's interesting to me? It's like, it is kind of crazy that one invokes the sparkly guitar and doesn't invoke teardrops on my guitar. Like that just doesn't make sense.
I read something very interesting about why she's not doing any debut or Speak Now songs. I don't know if I necessarily think that it's true.
I know what you're going to say, and I think it's wrong.
I don't know. I don't think that I think it's true either because, I mean, obviously, if she had to do any songs from Speak Now, she did have to do Enchanted because that's the one that everybody is, like, going cuckoo bananas for on TikTok. But really, I think most of the set list has to do with her being on TikTok. I think that's really like the end.
It does.
You know, I don't see, you know, Mine going viral on TikTok, but I do see Enchanted going viral on TikTok. I don't see anything from debut going viral on TikTok. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I think she built the set, which is fine because I guess it is, in a way, sort of a way to gauge people's interest and what they're interested in. Like, it's fair. But at the same time, it's like, well, maybe if TikTok wasn't the worst place on earth. You know what I mean? It's like, so.
Yeah.
So,
or maybe if. Taylor has, like, at this point now, met different generations of fans.
Right.
So it's not everyone coming from TikTok.
Yeah.
That's the thing. The TikTok ones are just the audience that she's courting now because they're the younger ones with the disposable income. That's why she's pandering to them. So loved Fearless. Then we go into You Belong With Me and Love Story. Classics, mm-hmm. bangers, always have to be done. Emotional, love it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And we got the full version of You Belong With Me,
which was a treat. I loved the You Belong With Me performance. I loved seeing Amos and Paul up there. I loved the stage doing its fucking thing. I thought it was really cute. And it made me emotional.
The clap, clap.
That's all we need. You know what I mean?
Love it.
It mm-hmm. doesn't have to be, you know.
You Belong With Me is slowly becoming the song to me. It used to be Love Story, and it always will be Love Story. But You Belong With Me, I'm glad, is finally getting its flowers, because Taylor really eschewed it in favor of Love Story for a long time. And I feel like now she views them as equals, which I love. Because You Belong With Me went viral on TikTok.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
There you go. So my first edition of the evening comes here. The Fearless section was just not long enough for me. I would have added in my Mr. Perfectly Fine and Forever and Always mashup that I had idea. I wish there were more mashups, because that would have given us more opportunities to have more songs, which sounds crazy because there are so many songs. But there are moments where I'm like, okay, I love We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, but why are we doing the full version of We Are Never? We could cut that in half and do half of I Knew You Were Trouble as well, and then have another song somewhere else. So this is where I would have put a mashup of Mr. Perfectly Fine, a nod to Fearless Taylor's version. Also, Mr. Perfectly Fine goes really well with Love Story and You Belong With Me. Like, it has like a similar kind of energy to it, that like scream sing-along moment. And I think it's weird that there aren't more vault track representations on the tour.
Well, she doesn't really do any, does she? There's no vault tracks on the set list, which I feel like
All Too Well 10, that's it.
Well, it, to me, it's like All Too Well 10 sort of has its own thing going on. I almost don't even consider it a vault track, because I mean, it's just like got like such a cult fucking, I mean, people are obsessed with it, which is fine. People are really upset that it's on the set list. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it does.
What did you think?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Did you think she wasn't going to do All Too Well 10?
Saying. Like, did you seriously think she wasn't going to do it? Yes, it's 10 minutes where she could have done three songs, but did you think she wasn't going to do it?
I will take the 10-minute version of All Too Well.
I'm not
like,
mad about
it. I want it.
I would, you know, I wanna hear not it. Everybody has gotten to, you know, seen it played live right in front of their face. So I'm okay with it.
So after Love Story and You Belong With Me, we head straight into a part of the show that I don't think Madeline and I will entirely agree on, which is the Evermore section of the show. And I'll just get the negativity out of the way. I think that the Evermore song selections were so fucking bizarre, and she had way better options and segues and manifestations of this. And I understand a lot of people are defending these like very lagging and slow moments by saying that she needs a break. And it's like, yes, she needs a break and she can have a break, but there are songs that are a little bit more engaging to give her a break. It is a stadium show, and I think this interrupts the flow and the vibe. I, of course, gagged when I saw Tis the Damn Season. I love the set. The staging for Evermore is really, really gorgeous. Before we get into the specific songs, Madeline, do you want to give your overall thoughts on the section? I'm sure you have a rebuttal to me.
It's one of my favorite parts of the show. I absolutely love the staging. I love the outfits. I love everything about it. Willow is the gag of the century. That being said, there are a couple of things that I would change. But I think it's really sort of like a special part of the show. And I feel like if the show was set up differently and it could be staggered, and she wasn't doing them all back to back to back, it would be different. But obviously, the show is set up how it's set up, and that's the way. I mean, she's doing sections, she's doing her moments, her eras, whatever. So it wouldn't feel as like, you know what I mean, if it were sectioned out. So, like, I respect the it kind of slows things down, because it does, especially opening with Tis the Damn Season. That's actually something that I would change.
I know. That's the weirdest decision. And I love Tis the Damn Season.
Well, I don't understand why that. To me, like, the opening song of every era should be the most representative song of the era. And I think it should have been Gold Rush. And I don't understand mm-hmm. why it wasn't. Why are we doing Tis the Damn Season? Like, it's a Christmas song to me, first of all, which maybe she doesn't feel that way about it, but I do. I thought that was crazy. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not happy to see it live. I think it's super cool that it's on this. Like, don't get me wrong. But that's something that I would have changed. In general, though, I love that. I mean, I love the mossy piano. I'm gagging. I love her little yellow outfit. I mean, the Willow performance, honestly, for me, is like top three moments in the show. For me, as the stan. So.
Well, I was going to say, actually, I think the Willow staging is some of the coolest work on the tour. It's super interesting. And I think the challenge with Evermore and Folklore was always going to be, how do we make this feel like a stadium moment when it's such an intimate album? And that is a good example of how to do it right. That and The Last Great American Dynasty, off the top of my head, like, are really good manifestations of it. So for me, I would have switched it up by starting with Willow, because the intro to Willow is already exciting and like it's
different,
interesting. Yeah. It's more upbeat. It kind of gets you going. It's a good transition from like Love Story and You Belong With Me. It's still in that vein. So I would go Willow. Then I would head into a forested area, maybe near the piano, and I would go straight into Ivy. I would cut Tis the Damn Season, to be honest. I'd go into Ivy because, again, that one has a little bit more of life to it than Marjorie, personally, which I'm also cutting. I understand why she played it. I respect why she played it. But for me, I'm cutting it from the tour because I just don't think that it fits in this particular vibe of the show. So I would add Ivy in there. Then I would do Champagne Problems. I don't think we can get away from Champagne Problems, so I'm just going to leave her there. Then I would wrap that up with, I loved the staging for Tolerate It. Like, at first I was like, why is she doing this? Of course, it's my favorite song on Evermore, so I was like, ah! When I saw the staging of it, I really understood. So I think from Champagne Problems to Tolerate It is good. And then I would cut Marjorie, obviously, and I would finish this section with Right Where You Left Me, because you could easily transition that table setting into Tolerate It into a little French cafe where she's stuck at that. Like, the visuals of Right Where You Left Me are so ripe for a performance like what she did in this section that I'm like, what were you thinking?
That's actually, those are some really good adjustments, I think, especially Right Where You Left Me. I feel like that was the one that I saw more people gagging over to hear that was, you know, when we were thinking that there was going to be no deep cuts on this tour, that was the one, you know, that I was like, well, maybe she would do that one. I think that, I think she's definitely going to do it as a surprise song because, I mean, she has to know that that's the one that people are gagging over. But it would have been so good. So that's kind of like
the state. That's what I'm talking about. To have a production of it. And also it's like, it's a big number too at the end. Like, she could do a really cool thing with the band. And I think this is what I mean. I think she picked, in general, she picked weird songs to do from Evermore because it's like Evermore is such a like stylistically varied, complex album that like theoretically, if she wanted to make it a section of bangers, like we could put Long Story Short in there somewhere. That's a great song from Evermore to include that would fit on the Eras Tour. It's just, the choice of songs, I don't know, but the Tolerate It performance, can we talk about that? Oh my God.
Yeah, amazing.
That was amazing.
Amazing. Loved it. I mean, sometimes the way her mind works absolutely blows my mind because, I mean, I would never in a million fucking years have put Tolerate It on a stadium set list. But it's like, it's like I could never imagine taking it off. I get worried sometimes when I think about like my show being so late in the game. It's like, I know she's going to change things because she always does. And it's like, at this point, if she changes anything, I'm going to rip her fucking head off because it's not fair. Don't take Tolerate It away. Do not take Tolerate It away from me. Honestly, I'm not living my life without seeing Marjorie live. That's just my opinion. I mean, I get why you would cut it, but I think it's like such a, I don't know. Like, there's something about doing that kind of song in a stadium setting that's like so fucking bold and insane. It's just like, well, I mean, it sort of like reminds me of how we always talk about how Taylor, you know, even though she's in this massive, you know, stadium setting, she can kind of like make it very personal. That's an insanely personal song to do for a stadium. And also, I don't know. I can't not have it on there. If she takes it off, well, I'll fucking
kill her. I respect it. I think just coupled with what it's in there with.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I'm kind of like,
I get like the criticisms of the Evermore section, but for me, I don't know. I'm just gagging over it. It surprised me so much. But again, I wish
it was surprising.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It was surprising.
She really should have done Gold Rush. I don't get, that was always the one that I said that she would have done. So I don't get why she didn't, because the staging for that would have been fucking amazing. Imagine going from London Boy right into Gold Rush. Oh, well, that's not how it's going. But you understand what I mean.
No. Well, You Belong With Me, You Belong With Me and Love Story, the theme of that entire section is gold.
Right.
Like, it's all gold. The whole stage is gold.
So why are we just gold rushing?
Straight into Gold Rush, girl.
Let's gold rush. Let's go.
It seems like nobody wants to get up and gold rush these days.
Get your fucking ass up and gold rush.
That seems to be the theme. So then we get into what is probably one of my favorite parts of the show. I know Madeline is definitely up there for you. Reputation. I mean, we always knew Reputation was going to serve cunt. We just didn't know if Taylor was going to commit to serving cunt. And she, oh my God. Did she commit?
It's crazy. I mean, tolerate it to ready for it is one of the most insane things I think I've ever fucking seen in my life. But the intro to the Reputation section is like, I mean, it's very simple. It's just a snake and it's hissing and it's doing its fucking thing. It's almost kind of
and
scary.
And clomping.
It's scary. Clomp, clomp.
It is scary.
Clomp,
clomp. Clomp, clomp. Stomp on me.
Yeah. Come step on me. I literally love it. I mean, that's kind of like a Madeline tolerate it into ready for it. It's like I couldn't have conceived of that in my wildest fucking dreams. And there it is. It exists. Tolerate it into ready for it. Thank you. I cannot wait to gobble that up.
Thank you so much. It is, I mean, the whole it's the Reputation part of the show is obviously going to be appealing to us because it's snake coded, right? Like our whole thing is the aesthetic of Reputation is what we like to see, what we like to have. So the ready for it inclusion, I was very surprised by. I didn't realize how much she loved that song. And to have it be the opener, of course, is such a slay. It really is the moment. And I loved the blocking for this, the dancers, the choreography. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. The choreo was mm-hmm. so fucking good for this. She said, I'm going to dance, so bitch. Good. I'm going to put on my tap shoes. I'm going to tap.
Clump, clump, clump. Here we go.
Clump, 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 clump. The look. I love the look. Oh, how did you feel about Ready For It? I was saying I was very surprised at how much she loved Ready For It.
For me, I definitely thought that she was gonna cut it. Which, you know, tragedy has struck, but you can't complain too much when it was the opener every single night on the last tour. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, it had its flowers, but, to say that I was happy when it came on, I mean, I gotta tell you something, I'm loving it. And if she cuts that too, I'll fucking make her life hell, but she wouldn't because
she
it's can't.
She can't.
She can't cut anything from Reputation. People go nuts over that record. And the performance, the entire thing from start to fucking finish is a banger. And she has to know that. Like, it's perfect. I wouldn't change anything about this entire part of the show. Not a goddamn thing.
No, no notes. And I think at this point, she'd also really warmed up. She didn't seem as nervous anymore with Reputation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she switched into cunt serving mode from depressed, sad girl mode so fast. Because they are two sides of the same coin, to be honest. So Ready For It, loved it. The dancing was amazing. She definitely, the choreo in general was very good. It was very well tailored to her abilities, which are few. Just elaborate posing, which she's very good at. Then we get into Delicate. I mean, of course, expected. Always good to have a 1, 2, 3, let's go, bitch moment. We love that. Then Don't Blame Me.
Now that was, I mean, I kind of knew that she had to because, I mean, again, it went viral on TikTok, et cetera, et cetera. But let me tell you something. Did I imagine in my wildest dreams that the transition to Don't Blame Me to Look What You Made Me Do would be that much of a cock slap? No. That, I mean, I can't even tell you. That's the moment from the show that I think is like number one. It's just so fucking good. Thinking about it now, I mean, I would give anything.
I know. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I think what we love about that is that it's very much Taylor's work doubling back on itself, interacting with each other. And I think there wasn't enough of that on the tour, I would say, like the songs overlapping, merging into one. That's why I was keen for more mashups because I personally love to see it. It's creative. It's like a different way to experience the songs. But I love that transition. Like, it's not even a transition. It's a work of art. It's a song in and of itself.
It should be in the Louvre.
It should be.
We need to call.
I mean, don't Blame Me itself as a song. Great inclusion. However, hitting that high note every night for the next 50 shows, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. Girlie, just give it up to God. I won't even judge you. I understand.
Exactly. Just play the track. Play it back. Mm-hmm. Play the track. Because I'd rather play the track then listen to you going for it when there's nothing to go for.
Yeah.
So Don't Blame Me Amazing. Look What You Made Me Do. Wow. Wow. I thought she was for sure going to get cut. And she put her whole pussy into this performance.
I mean, she gave it like that. This was her fucking, like, this is her favorite song ever. That was the feeling that I got from watching the performance, because the creativity, the serve, the, you know, the vocalizations, the she finally did, because she's dead herself and didn't have some lady doing it for her, you know, she did it herself and she did it like a fucking boss bitch. This is my favorite performance of the entire tour. The cunt that is served. I love that she has her fucking dancers in her silly little tour costumes and they're fucking begging for release. And she's torturing
and
them.
She's
there's
like,
something like
fuck
really,
you, bitch.
Yeah, fuck you, bitch. Reputation has taken over the Eras Tour, and I just love the visualization. It's literally perfect. I can't believe that I get
it's
to see
so
songs.
Good
every fucking night mm-hmm. for the next 4 months. And there it is.
The instrumental as well. What they have done musically, the arrangement to Look What You Made Me Do. Wow. Wow.
It is so
because it
good.
Is a kind of a sparse song by nature. The chorus is very like very sparse. But the way that they've really enhanced it and the guitar riff all the way through.
Yep.
Whoo. Holy shit. And she, like you said, she gave it her everything. She said, my rent is due. My mortgage payment on that massive Rhode Island home that I'm never in is coming up.
Yep.
I need a couple mil. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to call myself dead. And she did.
I
thought
it.
She would kill this
Number
song.
One. I thought so too. I thought, yeah. You know, Reputation has a lot of really good moments. And I think Look What You Made Me Do is on the chopping block because, you know, I mean, this is better than the Reputation. I mean, to have a song be better on this tour than it was on its own fucking tour is bananas to me. Like, what?
It's way better on this tour.
It's way
better.
Better
on this tour.
Way better. It's crazy how much better it is. I cannot wait.
Up next is my favorite performance of the tour, Enchanted. Mm-hmm. And so my next addition here would be, okay, well, I would add in at the end of Enchanted when she's walking back in that dress, I would do a little quick change, take the skirt off, and she's got a Sparks Fly-esque dress underneath.
Yep.
And she sings Drop Everything Now, and she does a verse, a chorus, and a bridge of Sparks Fly to respect the album. I would love it if she would do mine. However, it doesn't seem realistic for some reason. She doesn't want to play that song ever again. Fuck you for that. But I think Sparks Fly would have fit perfectly in there. And it also would have picked us back up in pace to get into 22 and Red, which comes next. But I mean, the fact that she spoke at length about how she knows everybody thinks she hates Evermore. What about Speak Now? You have been spitting on her name for months, for a year at this point.
She really can't. I mean, I'm loving her talking about Evermore and how silly it is that everybody thinks she hates it. But it's like, okay, well, you can't say all that stuff. Meanwhile, you're completely cutting two entire albums from the Eras Tour. I mean, let's talk about it. Let's put it out there. I want to talk about it. How come? I mean, and the thing is, it wouldn't have even, I mean, I'm saying this as somebody who has never worked on a stage crew in my entire life, but it seems to me like it wouldn't have been that hard to just put Sparks Fly on the set list. That was an omission. Like, even if we just got Enchanted and Sparks Fly, I could have respected that. You know what I mean? Like,
I would have been happy with it.
Only doing Enchanted is just like, I mean, I appreciate that she gave it her whole pussy. I will say that. I mean, she put on the gown. She put on the wig. She put on the eyelashes. She put on the gown. And she did the whole purple theme. Like, she didn't half-ass Enchanted at all, but like, just Sparks Fly. That's all I ask. Even Back to December could have been done. Put a piano at the end of the stage and start doing it in the gown. I'd watch that and I'd love it. I'm like going off, but to me, the total, I mean, obviously Debut being omitted is a crime in and of itself, but like Speak Now is really the, I mean, she should go to federal prison. You know, leaving Debut out, that's parole. But leaving Speak Now out is prison. Yep.
Jail. Maximum security. I mean, I just don't understand it. I really don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. There are inclusions of songs. Like, again, this is where I become very venomous and angry about the Folklore Evermore sections being too long, because it's like, I in theory, would like to hear all of those songs, but this is the Eras Tour. This is not the four songs that were released since the four albums that were released since 2019 albums tour. This is the Eras Tour, and you have billed it as a journey through your career. And to merely view Speak Now as a stopover on the way to better things is so, like, I don't know, it just feels disrespectful to the legacy of it, and it makes me upset. However, well, also, we didn't even get the full version of Enchanted. She didn't even do the full version. That was, Enchanted is a long song, so I understand cutting it, but when you're not giving anything else from Speak Now, the least you can do is the lingering question kept me up 2 a.m. Who do you love? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the least that you can give us at that moment. But I will say, when I saw her walking out in that gown, oh, I wanted to cry like a little baby. I wanted to cry.
And I also, I love the pink dress she did for Night 2. I think that Mama loved your pink dress. I love it. The gown, you know what's really funny? I was thinking about this, is that I don't think she's worn a gown like that on stage. I mean, you could argue for Red, she did that hideous red dress for the Lucky One.
That was not a gown. That's not a gown
to me, baby. The last time she wore like a true gown, it was on the Speak Now tour. So I thought putting on the gown was a nice homage. See, this is kind of why I think I don't believe that she has any qualms with Speak Now, or she doesn't think it's as good or whatever, because obviously she's riding hard for people to know. She wrote that album entirely by herself. I do think it is important to her. To me, it's like, there's gotta be a reason she's not doing it more. I just don't know what it is.
No. Exactly. This is the thing. She doesn't tell us. She doesn't fucking tell us anything. So how would we know? Right. But overall, Enchanted was my favorite performance of the evening for obvious reasons. I loved all the dancers spinning around her. I loved how she was elevated. She was doing a lot of arm choreography, which is very Speak Now. And she sounded great. I love hearing Please Don't Be in Love with Someone Else. I'm always here to hear that. And it served. Unfortunately, it served. Speak Now is a flyover state. Unfortunately. But then we get into... No, keep going. You were going to say, if you're defending Speak Now, I'd like to hear it.
I was just going to say that I don't have anything good to say. Moving on.
Perfect.
Right along. Amazing. That. Perfect.
Moving on to Red. Now Red. All the Max Martin songs made it. All of them. We start with 22. I love the variations of the shirt. The first one said a lot going on at the moment, and this one said, who's Taylor Swift anyway? Ew. I love that.
Yeah. It was funny because when we were going through, when I was going through the document, the only thing that I had was a picture. I didn't have a clip or anything, so I just opened it and I viewed. And I said, well, she's doing 22. I don't need any more information. Like, I really don't. Like, she's doing 22. And I mean, that kind of thing, that something that has like that strong of a calling card, I think opening with 22 was actually a really good decision. I Knew Your Trouble would have been a great opener too. But 22, I don't know. It's like, especially coming off of Enchanted, like, a more mellow song into like, I thought it was great.
And the girlies love it. 22 was the sleeper smash. That's another TikTok song, 22. But that has been going, that I love that performance. She, of all the eras that she wanted to do a clone, an Ashley version of, Red was the one. She like literally did a tit for tat recreation of how she looked. The hair, the hat, the shirt, the shorts, the performance. It was giving, we need to talk about Ashley.
Yeah.
We love it.
And, loved it. No notes.
No notes. Fun. Then we get into We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. I wrote in full in this economy. I was surprised that it was there at all.
Me too. I'm it's definitely something we talked about. It's like, I mean, I guess she's just doing, like, I guess if you're going to pull a song from Red that's a hit, I guess you would pull We Are Never Ever. But it's like, well, now why couldn't we have done Sparks Fly? Again, I will keep going back to this. You had time for the full version of We Are Never Ever, but you didn't have time for just the bridge. That's all I ask. You did the bridge to Illicit Affairs, the bridge to Sparks Fly.
Just drop everything now.
I want to hear it.
Drop everything now. That's all I want to see from you.
Yeah.
We Are Never, I love We Are Never, don't get me wrong, but the full, I think We Are Never is one of those songs that you can do a verse, chorus, that fun bridge, finish with the chorus again, you're done. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't need to be doing it longer than that. Also, the choreo to this song is really interesting. If you haven't seen a full video, you should see a video.
I haven't. Honestly, for me, like, the Red songs, the clips that I've seen, it's kind of like there she is, and the stage is red, and there's red lights, and there she is, and it's like, okay, there's like nothing to
I would have maybe
that I've seen.
Yeah. I would have loved to have a Holy Ground moment here, not just saying that as a Holy Ground stan, saying that as we should be having more deep cuts. I'm surprised that we're certainly getting fucking deep cuts from Folklore and Evermore, but none from anywhere else. So I would have put, or even read the song here. Read the song would have been a good addition to this because it goes crazy.
Well, it would have been really, really simple to go, honestly, this might sound insane. I just thought of this right now. You know what would have been really good is an All Too Well 10 red mashup. She says the word red in that song. So I'm just saying it would have been easy. I say this again. I have never been on a stage, ladies and gentlemen. But it would have been so simple. Well, I mean, and you know, just... I think I completely agree with you is what I'm getting at. I think that read the song. First of all, it's the title track. So you could have just done it. And it's beloved. Mm-hmm. And it's beloved. That's how I feel. So
we love it.
Again.
We love to see her.
We love it. Yeah.
I Knew You Were Trouble. No notes. Amazing. I want it played in full exactly the way it is at every single show. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's it, really.
I always love the I Knew You Were Trouble like smoke/steam. Stuff that comes up. And I love that she did it again for this tour, just like she did for 1989, I believe, right?
She knows.
She was doing the steam. Well,
I was kind of interested that we didn't do a lot of reworking of any of the old songs. I thought maybe there might be a little bit of, like, I don't know, remixing. I loved the 1989 tour version of I Knew You Were Trouble. But Trouble is perfect how it is.
Right. I also, now that you mentioned it, was really surprised that there was no reworkings of any of the songs because, I mean, I guess she was kind of going into this in a way that was like, I'm just going to kind of do the songs as they are, as like an homage thing. But it's like, well, I mean, you could have given us a little something different every now and again. I mean, the girls are ready for it. Mm-hmm. I guess kind of she has on some of the songs, like Look What You Made Me Do. But I mean, I wouldn't call that a rework so much as a
additions.
A revitalization, if you will.
A revision.
Additions, right. Yeah.
All Too Well 10 had to be done. I love the sequined red blazer dress that she wears.
I love that. I, when I first saw it, I was like, what the fuck is that? It looked like a magician.
It's ridiculous, but I love it.
But I love it. It serves. Yeah, I love the ombre. I'm kind of a sucker for things that are ombre. I love shit like that, so I definitely fuck with that. As for the controversy surrounding doing All Too Well 10 at all, to you, I say, what were you thinking? And is everything okay at home?
Mm-hmm.
And
who are
you? Seriously think she's very, very proud of her All Too Well 10, and I think she has every right to be. I think it's an incredible song. I've seen a lot of people out of the woodwork saying all of a sudden it's a bad fucking song. Who said that? Who said that?
Who
did you
said
hear
that?
What was that? James? James? Who said it's a bad song? It's like, you can shit on it all you want.
It's crazy.
But the fact of the matter is, she's going to keep dragging that thing out. So you might as well get on the train and join the rest of us, because we're having fun. I mean.
Well, you also begged for it for years.
Oh my God.
You were begging.
I know.
You were pleading, screaming.
You have the tits to say, I don't want this anymore. No. You're in this thing now. Get on the train. Get on the train.
And you want her to cut that to play what is my question. What could possibly substitute the All Too Well 10-minute version? Nothing, bitch. That's right.
Silence, cricket. Literally, and I know exactly what they're going to say. Cricket. Well, if you took All Too Well 10 out, there'd be time for Speak Now. Who said that? Do you think that's the reason she's not playing Speak Now?
Who
I get so sick of hearing that. You took up, it's like, oh, took the set list away. Like, she's already doing 44 songs. The songs that she has chosen to omit, she's omitting them, my friends. You know, I hate to say it, but like that's how I feel. All Too Well 10 isn't doing anything to anybody except for simply existing. And I think we should talk about it.
If it was a short set, you could make that argument. If it was 17 songs and one of those songs was All Too Well, sure. Mm. And even still, I would say shut up and eat your food.
Yeah, shut up and eat it.
Really?
She was never not going to play All Too Well. She can't not play All Too Well 10. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand the psychosis.
Are you delusional?
Like, are you delusional?
Are you okay?
Anyway.
The answer is yes, obviously.
No notes.
Then we get into no notes. Red portion of the show, very good. Predictable, but good. Up next, folklore. We have the biggest cricket of the night, which was the 7 spoken word poem interlude.
It's so funny because I've only heard of this. I actually haven't seen it because I was like, I don't think I need to see that. I think I understand.
I
get what she's doing.
I played like 5 seconds of it and was like, nope.
Well, it's like at that point, nope. Just do 7. Why are you not just doing 7? Like, why are you?
It's a great song.
Yeah, it's like,
just or just play
it.
The song.
Why are you?
If you're not going to sing it, just play it.
I feel like she was really like hamming up folklore. I mean, folklore deserves all its flowers, don't get me wrong, but it's like, this was her being like, I'm a writer, just so you know. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm a pop girl, but yeah. By the way, I write, and here's my poem. It's like, okay. I don't think anybody in the crowd would say that you can't write, so let's just calm down.
Mm-hmm. Taylor also has never written a good poem, and if you had read the Reputation magazines, you would know that. But I think that getting into folklore here is fun. Starting with Invisible String, I love that the house from the Grammys came back. That was another suggestion I made in my setlist prediction, having that house come back. We love to see her sitting on that. I would have actually, hot take, I would have started with Cardigan. I would have put her on the house for Cardigan and started there.
Sure. Yeah. No, I have no problem with that. I mean, I'm attached to Invisible String as it is. So, I mean, the fact that she played it really kind of gagged me. I was like, you're kidding. This is when I started to think
myself,
like, what's occurring here?
What I love doing? Invisible String.
I love it.
I know.
It.
I love Invisible String.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see it there. Is it in full? I haven't seen the full videos of the folklore
Last Great American Dynasty. I believe that it is. I think that it is because I've seen, I want to say, most of it. And I'm pretty sure it's the whole song. She definitely does the bridge and she definitely does the first verse. So why wouldn't she do? I think she does the second verse too. Watch me be completely fucking wrong.
The way,
why would you miss
the
out
way
on
the
chance
string
to say bad was the
just
butt?
Goes down the stage. I love it.
I love it. It's perfect.
I love it.
No notes.
Attention to
no
detail. Folklore staging had some of the most beautiful visuals. It's all kind of Cardigan music video style. Like that's really the vibe she's going for. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love that. So I would have, I actually, you know what? I maybe would have cut Cardigan. If I was going to cut something here, I maybe would have cut that. Yeah, I would have just gone Invisible String. And then Betty.
That's interesting. So in my list, I did cut Betty. But the thing is, I replaced it with the one. I mean, that's just, I'm not even saying that I would have expected her to have played that. But if you're, you know, asking me if you could replace Betty, which I definitely would, by the way. I would put the one there. I would gag to hear the one on this tour. I have to tell you something. Let me tell you. Oof. Missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Missed opportunity. Well, she could have started with that, actually. She could have kicked it all off
and
with the one,
would have
gone straight into
Cardigan.
The first
notes of the piano would have rang through that stadium and you know, people would have started giving birth because it's such an intense moment.
People would have dropped everything now. Mm-hmm. They would have. So then we get into Betty. I'm in favor of Betty being on the set because it's like a country sing-along. The way that she did it with the band sitting all around her at her feet reminded me of like Our Song and Mean on the Speak Now tour. So I liked that moment. It's a very country sing-along moment. So I enjoyed that. Staging was pretty. Now, The Last Great American Dynasty, that baffled me. That truly gagged me. I know that Taylor is so proud of that song and that's why it's on the set. But again, here is where you couldn't have added a snare in. You couldn't have like just made it sound a little bit more exciting. The Last Great American Dynasty like is kind of a boring song to listen to in a context like that because it's very one note. Like it's all about the story. And she of course had it playing out on stage in front of her, which was cool. But I think she could have done something more interesting. Like, I'm not even saying cut it. I'm just saying, like, do something different with it. Make it a bit more lively.
To me, like, The Last Great American Dynasty, I think that I thought that she might have played it, which is like a weird feeling that I had. I don't know why I thought that, because it's, I would agree that it kind of doesn't make any sense, but maybe it's just because of the bridge. I just really wanted to sing the bridge in a stadium setting, and I think it would serve, and it will, by the way. But in terms of the staging, mm-hmm. it's all right, but there is a moment that I really quite like, which is when she says, "And then it was bought by me," and they meet each other on the stair and they look at each other, and it's like a very like we see each other sort of a moment, like yeah. there's something connected about them. I really appreciate that moment, and I don't think everybody gets it. I mean, for example, certain people, you know, in certain sections of the fandom, you know,
are taking that in a specific way.
But it's like it's so obvious what it means, and it's like when people don't understand the subtle, you know, metaphors, if you will, or you know, what I'm not thinking of the right word, but I know you know what I mean. When people take them out of context, mm-hmm. it's like, well, why are you ruining such a good moment by something that's just like asinine? Like that's obviously not what's going on. What's going on? She's saying that I am Rebecca Harkness. It's that easy.
Yeah, that's what
it's
saying.
That fucking that's literally simple. What
she's
and saying. I think it's absurd.
That's what she wants
it.
To say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it too. Also, okay, the bridge of illicit affairs gagged me.
Gag.
To the end of the world. Mm-hmm. That was the way she screamed that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And it's the best part of the mm-hmm. song, too. So that she just did that part of it is perfect.
Well, and going back to your point about like making folklore songs stadium songs, I think that that is exactly what she did with Illicit Affairs. I think it's so good. I think it's exactly what that song needed to really kind of like become a big moment. And it's a huge moment. I can't wait to see that. I think it's going to be huge.
And then we get into My Tears Ricochet.
This gagged me. I was like, no way.
It was a gag.
I literally said, no way it was she's a gag. Doing that. It's a gag. And it's like,
I just had a moment where I was like, My Tears Ricochet and Tolerate It on the same set list. I would have told you a month ago that neither of them had any chance in fucking hell of being on this set list.
Right. This is one that like when I was thinking about songs that I would have cut, I tried to cut this one, but I couldn't do it because I was like, I want to hear it way too much. So I'm going to leave it on, even though perhaps, you know, maybe.
I had a question mark around it too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I
just because of what precedes it.
Right. And I think that maybe if it was just like a chorus and the bridge to the end, that would have been really good. It surprised me. She did the whole goddamn thing, didn't she?
Yeah. That's not. That's too much. That's too
she
much.
She really wanted to do it. She wanted to have a funeral for Big Machine Records.
It's about the Masters ownership.
Yeah, she which did. Is like, that's she her that's her drum to bang right now. And so I respect it. But, you know, did we have to do the whole thing? That's my only qualm. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't think that was entirely necessary because that's a song that's really sort of a dirge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a slog. I love it, but it is like it's a commitment. That song, it builds. It has a build and like it doesn't work if you cut it up, which is probably why she did the whole thing. You know what I've noticed? So many track fives on this set list. Delicate, The Archer, My Tears Ricochet, Tolerate It. Like we're just track fiving it up.
All Too Well. Wow. She mm-hmm. said, "You guys like track five? Well, I've got it for you. I have it right here.
Here it is.
Yep.
So after kind of, then we get into Cardigan, which is, I think August also, did I forget to put in there? Wow, Folklore
is
really
August
long.
Yeah, August is in there too.
It's a really long section.
She did eight songs from Folklore, which is the most she does for any other. But I mean, it's like, technically, I guess you could say seven because she only does the bridge to Illicit Affairs, but like that's still more than any other.
Well now, why didn't she do Mirror Ball? This is what I don't understand. That song would have been very easy to stadiumify. Like, that could have been an amazing set piece. We could have had a really cool stage. She could have done a really great instrumental for it. Like, doing My Tears Ricochet or The Last Great American Dynasty instead of Mirror Ball doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
And, I mean, it was an outfit moment. All you have to do is put on a fucking... I mean, that to me also, like... I don't know why when it's such, it could have been so easy to do. Again, I say, it would be so easy. I know everything about putting on a show, everybody. But I mean, I feel like you're right. I think that it would have been a massive stadium moment and it's beloved, which is why it was the first surprise song because she knows that. I want to like find the notebooks mm-hmm. where she was planning this and see her decision-making process because
I need to see the cutting room floor.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, the folklore section is long, but finally we're getting back into the bops. Here we are in the 1989 portion of the show, which Madeline hasn't seen very much of. So it's
I have seen minimal. I swear to you, people are not posting them. People are not posting them. People are going tits out for the midnight section. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I've seen enough.
1989 is hard to find.
But I haven't seen like anything from Blank Space.
Oh, nothing. Well, Blank Space is there's nothing really special about it. It's like it's the same thing it always is. She starts with Style and she goes mm-hmm. into Blank Space. Mm-hmm. Style is so good. I wish she did that in full, but like we didn't get that in full. The choreo, the new choreo for it is really cute. She's doing a two-step.
I saw the Style choreo. I mean, I've only seen a clip of it again, but I thought it was good. The thing that is kind of putting me off to the, again, what I've seen of it about the 1989 section is that it just mm-hmm. kind of seems like she's just there and doing it. And it's like there's nothing special about it.
Yeah.
Or, mm-hmm. I mean,
there aren't any intricate set pieces.
There's nothing. Nope, nothing.
Well, for her biggest album, it's definitely a stopover. But again, she doesn't care about the old albums, clearly. She's not really into that on this tour. She's like, I'm bored. Been doing this for too long. Next. So the outfit, we love the Shake It Off inspired two-piece. We love that she's changing colors every night. It was pink night one. It was green night two. We fucking love to see that forever and always. So Blank Space, the only interesting thing about that is that she has a golf club, a neon golf club that lights up.
Oh, and see, now I have seen none of this. Where's that? I mean, that's fun. That's cute. I want to see that. I haven't seen that. Not even a picture.
And she's wearing the Shake It Off fit.
Do you know something that I will say about that is that I find it perverse to see her doing Wildest Dreams in the Shake It Off outfit. I don't like it. I think she should have changed.
There is something.
Just put a skirt
that.
Over it. Something. Yep. Like, I don't, it's
cover up for religious
cover
moments.
Cover your body when you're in front of a church, please.
So then we get into Wildest Dreams. And Wildest Dreams is, I think she picked the perfect part of the song to do. First verse, because the verses are kind of snooze by themselves. First verse, chorus, and then she extends that bridge. She sucks the lemon dry with that bridge. She gets every juice out of it. She repeats it multiple times. I love it.
I am feeling shocked that you just said the Wildest Dreams verses are a snooze. Not for me. I mean, I can see that over and over and over again. I don't give a fuck. I mean, let me say something. I'm going to say this, and I don't want this to be taken too seriously, but I would like everybody to remember and reflect. She has never played Wildest Dreams all the way through on a single tour, not even on its own tour. And it's disrespectful. Anybody else think so?
But she played the whole song. She played the whole song. She just added lines of Enchanted into it. She didn't take anything out of it.
No. Mm-mm. I don't accept that. Mashing it up is bastardizing the canon. I'm just saying.
Okay, so you want to finish.
As a standing, I want to start to finish. Okay. I want a gown.
I'll take it.
Is that too much to ask for? A real gown, not just a thing you put over a leotard. A gown. Yes. And it feels like I'm never going to get it. And I'm starting to just kind of move on and accept. But she's always bastardizing it in some way, shape, or form, which is criminal now. I mean, didn't it go viral on TikTok? Isn't this the TikTok tour? Like, come on.
Yeah, it is. This is the TikTok tour. That's what we should start calling it. Taylor Swift, the TikTok tour. The bridge is so good. I love when she repeats it and extends it. The visuals for Wildest Dreams, oh my God.
I so definitely good. Love the visuals. It's you know, very sexy at the same time. There's something almost kind of like, I don't think she intended it to be, but it's kind of sinister also, which I obviously she didn't intend for.
There is
for
something foreboding about it.
It could have been like, I think if she had done Reputation and 1989 back to back, a transition from, because there's like candles during Don't Blame Me, you know what I'm talking about? It would have been interesting. Mm. Don't Blame Me into Wildest Dreams. There's something
I see.
There. But I wouldn't change. I wouldn't change what we got. Just to be clear. I'm just saying, you know.
I love the image of her in the burning bed. That is going up there with the cardigan piano in the water. Obsessed.
Yeah.
Love that. Hallmark visual instantly. Lots of great visuals on this tour. Lots of really good visuals. The budget was fucking high.
Yeah, I mean, some of the songs that got like really incredible visuals, I'm like, now you did all this for that? Okay, I'm not complaining, you know?
But like, I know Lavender Haze, it's like, okay, you did the MoMA on stage. That's the exact
one I was fucking thinking about. That is, I mean, there's a lot of really good visuals. That one stands alone as being like a creative mastermind came up with this. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so after Wildest Dreams, we get into Bad Blood. And Bad Blood serves on every tour stage that it's ever on. Anyone who says they don't like it is fucking lying to themselves. I want live footage of you in the stadium sitting down when Bad Blood is playing. I won't see it. You're going to be up there, titties out, bra off, ready to go. I honestly, we should have done the should have said no mashup. She should have just done it. It's great. It's better than Bad Blood by itself. Why didn't she just do that?
Should have said no, speaking of, is like probably another very big omission. Just because it's obviously a song that is off of debut. Of course, Teardrops on My Guitar is great, so is Tim McGraw, but like Should Have Said No was like, to me, aside from our song, like a song that has longevity for the masses, you know what I mean? Not just for us losers, but like for the people who are casually, again, on TikTok. That is a song that I feel like could have been on the set list and everybody would have been going wild. But of course she cut it for reasons unknown. For reasons unknown, everybody.
Another place that I maybe would have actually put Should Have Said No would have been in my Mr. Perfectly Fine mashup. Mr. Perfectly Fine and Should Have Said No would have slapped. Joe Jonas Connections. And it's not about him, but she performed it with him in the Fearless part of the show. I would have put that there.
That would be simply delicious. Maybe so.
It would have been great. So. Would have been delicious.
Yep.
So after Bad Blood, we get into the secret songs. Oh my God, I'm really croaking right now. The secret song portion of the show is apparently now two secret songs. It's not one secret song and Tim McGraw. It's one on the piano and one on the guitar. And my theory is that the guitar is always going to be a fucking Folklore Evermore song. And the piano is always going to be a other song that she decides to give a little bit of respect to. And my wish, hope, prayer for this part of the show is I think we should put a moratorium on Folklore Evermore. Yes, I think we should. No Folklore Evermore songs are allowed to be played for a surprise song because they are overrepresented in the fucking set already. And rare occasions should they be allowed?
I understand, you know, the energy. I understand where you're coming from. But if there is even a fraction of a chance that Miss Girl will get on that, you know, stage and play Hoax, I need to take it. So to you, I say I respect you, but respectfully, Mama needs to hear Hoax. So
Can we put this in?
After she plays Hoax and maybe also Peace, just for me.
You get one. You get one.
All right. If I had to choose, my before one would be Hoax. And then after that, she's not allowed to play any more songs from Brooke Livermore. I feel like that's reasonable and we can all agree. Thank you.
And at the very least, we could just reserve that piano song for a fucking debut song. I personally would take the secret song in general, shove it up her ass, and instead put Our Song and Teardrops on My Guitar here. Like, we need to have a surprise song somewhere, obviously, but I would put Our Song on the guitar and I would put Teardrops on the piano because we've never heard it on the piano before. And I think that it would be a different energy. And there's something kind of camp about singing Teardrops on My Guitar while playing the piano. And Our Song is a song, like those two songs are glaring omissions to me that really should have been there.
That is so fucking funny what you just said. I think it's camp what? To play Teardrops on My Guitar on the piano. It's like, I hadn't even been thinking about that, but as soon as you said it, I was like, hold on.
it would
camp.
Be.
We cannot deny it. It would be total camp. It would be even more camp if she said Teardrops on My Piano.
Teardrops on My Piano. My phone just fully like fell, by the way.
That's. I was like looking at it. I was like, hello?
Hello. James. This is truly such a production. I'm using my phone, so it's like all different. Okay, sorry. Back to Teardrops on My Piano. Do you love my idea?
I think that that's a good idea, but I mean, I for me, like this, I think it's a total gag that we get two surprise songs. I mean, does anybody else feel that way? I think it's real. I think it's a gag. I'm loving it. I mean, I think that you might be right, and that one is always going to be a Folk Lovemore song, and one is going to be, you know, out of the, you know, to be, you know, candid, out of you know, her ass. But I mean, there's not enough Folk Lovemore, or are there? Are there enough Folk Lovemore songs that she could? Because she said she's never going to play it again. So,
well,
she can't,
she'll do it,
you know,
until she
I mean?
Runs out of them. That's for sure.
I definitely think you're right. I think she's going to do, I mean, watch her do every single one except for Hoax. That would be so typical. That would just be my life.
It would.
Like, of course, you're going to do every single
literally
song
my life
except for Hoax. Yeah. So
she's
yes.
a bitch. B-I-C-T-H. Bitch.
But I think, like, there are certain songs that I know she's going to fucking play, even though I have no, you know, proof. I think she's definitely going to do Holy Ground. I think she's definitely going to do that as a surprise.
She
song.
Will do 100%. Our song, and she will do Teardrops. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. What's another one that I really think that she would do? I think now we will have to see if this is going to be
Hey
true.
Steven, more likely than you think.
Oh, yeah. The Other Side of the Door? Anybody? I think that could be on there too. But thinking about
if
like
this was a movie?
Songs, yeah, allegedly on Fearless, by the way. So she might play it because it's not technically
fucking
on
bitch.
Speak Now anymore. Fucking bitch. I think she'll do Safe and Sound. She could do Eyes Open. You know,
for sure.
Obviously, she cares about them. She likes them, so she could do that.
I can see her doing Better Man and Babe.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, and let me tell you something. Mama Needs the Very First Night. I'm sorry. I don't care what you want. I don't care what anybody wants. We need the Very First Night.
I agree.
We need it. We're desperate for it. We.
I want
gaggy.
Message in a Bottle too.
I would.
But I want. I don't want that on the guitar.
To hear
we
Message
can't
on a
have
Bottle
that on the guitar.
In a fucking on the fucking piano. Just this fucking beautiful ballad.
Awful.
A Message in a Bottle is
it
all
would just
I
be,
can do.
It would just be proving what an awful song it actually is. It's masked by the production, but like, it's a terrible song. Then we get into the final stretch of the show, and I was so gagged. Madeline, one of the spoilers that I got was Madeline texted me saying, "Zach, we're 24 songs in, and there is nothing from Midnights." And at the time, that was just inconceivable to me. I was like, "That's impossible."
I was, because this is before I had any concept of how long the set list would be, I was starting to think she wasn't going to do any. I was like, maybe she's going to do one.
Yeah.
She's just going to do Antihero. I was gagged. I was like, to me, this is not clicking. Like, something's not adding up. But then, of course, you know, she went on for 44 songs. I mean, she really shocked
she really,
me. That
she
was, that was
that.
A shunk.
She did that.
She
Her voice
me.
Started to sound really tired at this point in the show. Like, noticeably the vocals were struggling, and this is where I say lip sync it all. Give us a track. Just go, girl. We don't need to hear you sing. Just keep going.
Yeah. And I think that's completely fair for her to, you know, put the track on and just kind of, you know, mumble along. That's fine. We don't really need to hear you enunciate everything on Antihero, you know.
Nope.
I don't care.
Nope.
Do whatever you got to do.
I just want to see you serve.
I really could care less.
Twirl around.
Yeah, that's
flip
all,
your hair.
All I need. Speaking of serves and, you know, if there was a serve, if there was not, I hate that t-shirt thing that she wears for Antihero and beyond. I love
it.
Transition out of it. I hate the t-shirt thing. It's not my favorite. I think it's my least favorite.
I love it.
Of the
bitch. I love how there's different colors.
Interesting.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the transition from the surprise songs. The jumping and swimming.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, that's the serve of the night. I'm going to call it what it is because it's
hilarious.
And it's also like a fucking serve. Like, I can't just dive in. And especially
it's a gag.
When I see how small the gap actually is. It's like, what if she hits, even just hitting her hand on that would hurt. And she dives.
Mm-hmm.
Where is she going? I want to see it. Is she landing on a pillow? It must be something.
Where is she going?
Like,
well,
where
Madeline
is she going?
And I were saying there's a city under there, under that stage. There's an urgent care.
Oh,
there's a pharmacy.
Fleet.
There's a nail salon.
It's like, you know what it's like? It's like Kim Kardashian's backyard play place with like the mini Starbucks and the fucking and the mini
but it's,
Kim
but it's
Kardashian
full
West
of people.
Beauty. Yeah,
there's a community living down there.
Yeah.
Joe Alwyn is actually the mayor of that town.
That's where she keeps him. That's where he is, all tour.
That's where she keeps him. in the understage city. So yeah, I mean, the entrance into Lavender Haze is really, wow, what a budget can do. What a budget can do, because it's when those clouds come out,
mm-hmm. whew, she looks amazing. Really cool. I'm gonna call it what it is. That's what I really think. I mean, Reputation, obviously, that's my number one, but I would never in a million years have thought Lavender Haze would be my number two moment on the tour, but it might be. It's really, really good. I really enjoy it, actually.
It would have been a great opener, too. If there was another opener, I would have picked this one. You can't beat what we got, but like...
I have no comment about that comment. That is a crazy thing you just said, and I'm not hearing it. Like, out of anything she could have done, Lavender Haze. Okay.
No, I mean that. I mean, that's on the set list. The performances that we have. Like, if we had to plug and play a performance to be the opener, that would be it. Because it's exciting.
That's your choice.
Maybe ready for it, actually.
That's your choice. Mm. And I hear it, and... I hear it. That's all there is to it.
I'm surprised she didn't end with Antihero. We have Antihero post Lavender Haze. Mm-hmm. I'm shaken that she didn't end with that.
At the same time that it surprises me, it also doesn't surprise me that she ended with Karma. It's like, well, of course she did, the bitch.
Yeah.
She can't help herself. Yep. She cannot help herself.
She had to devote the last 15 minutes of the show to fuck you, Scooter Braun. And for that,
She had to. Mm-hmm. Vigilante shit. It goes vigilante shit into Karma, right? Or no? Is there something in between there?
No, mastermind. Mastermind.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So Lavender Haze, Antihero, Tick Tick, Midnight Rain, Love. I was kind of scared she was going to get cut. Quick Change, of course. That's such an old Taylor song to me. So to have a Quick Change. Taylor also loves an umbrella. Have you noticed that? She loves an umbrella. Yeah.
I mean, she'll take any excuse to bring an umbrella out. It's kind of like her red wig. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yep. And I love Midnight Rain. That is I think, even though mm-hmm. it's kind of simple, I love it. I love, love, love it, love it. I think, the quick change is so good. I love it. When she comes out and she's literally all of her chains like midnight. And she, all of her chains like midnight. I love it. Mm-hmm.
She also is, I think, going with the most streamed songs from Midnight's here. That has definitely informed her decisions. I would cut Vigilante shit. Like, I love that she wants to dance on a chair. I love that she wants to disrespect Scooter Braun. But I would cut it, and I would replace it with a Question Out of the Woods mashup. Sorry. That's what
For me, I said that I would cut Vigilante shit and I'd put Maroon there. Her not playing Maroon gags me. I was like, what? That would be what I thought.
Many people were gagged by
that. Yeah, I mean, I thought that she couldn't resist. I really thought that she couldn't resist that one. I understand, like, why perhaps the Question Out of the Woods mashup didn't happen, because I think that a Maroon Champagne Problems mashup also would have given the cut that everybody was looking for. But the thing is mm-hmm. that, like, it's blocked out in such a specific way. It's like nothing. She couldn't do any mashups.
Yeah.
I respect the commitment to the errors thing. I totally do. But if it were done a little bit differently, I think the mashups really could have given a little flavor. And we probably could have gotten more songs.
I agree. I would have liked to have just, in my ideal set list, I kind of wove with Midnight songs that I felt thematically fit with the different eras. So I had Midnight Rain and Speak Now. I would like to have, like, kind of moved pieces around here and there just to make you feel a bit more interactive.
I think that putting Midnight songs in with the eras, I think that would have been a really great way to kind of show, like, what Midnight's is as a record, or, you know, what she said that it was, et cetera, et cetera.
It makes sense. Yeah. Right.
I don't really like that Midnight's Maroon and Red segment of the tour. Yeah. I think the tour should have closed with something else, like not Karma, but like the entirety of Midnight's. I think that, mm-hmm. I don't know, that's just my onion. Like, maybe 1989 or even Reputation would have been a fucking sleigh to close on. But anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Well, so then we get Vigilante shit, which serves Slay, not for me, but I respect that she wants to be a hoe for 3 minutes. That's fine. Good for you, girl.
She has to do what she has to do. Mm-hmm.
Bejeweled, love.
Love. love. I didn't love that, again, she was feeding the TikToks by doing that stupid fucking dance.
The dance.
It's like, I mean, no offense to the kid who came out, but that I actually think it's really cute. But that said, she could have done a lot of things.
You're a pop star. You have a choreographer. Make up your own shit.
You have a choreographer, and instead you're going off TikTok dances. In 20 years, when TikTok is a thing of the past, you're going to be so embarrassed.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to hate your life.
Yeah.
So I like the Bejeweled performance. I think we could have done something bigger with it, but like, fine. I would have put Bejeweled in Reputation. That's where I would love to have had a transition between Reputation and 1989, and Bejeweled being that transition, I think would have been really good. I would cut Mastermind. I love Mastermind so much. And I actually put it at the end of my show too. Taylor watched my video, I'm telling you. I put it at this spot too, but I would cut it and I would put You're On Your Own Kid here.
That's exactly what I said.
And then we would end
too.
With Karma.
I think that You're On Your Own Kid being the penultimate song is perhaps the serve of the century. I don't understand why Mastermind
meaningful,
is there.
And then we get to laugh again.
Is that a highly streamed song? Is Mastermind highly streamed? That's stupid. Who's listening to that much? Just you.
I think that, that must be a Taylor interest song.
Well, good for her. But that's a special interest from Taylor. And okay, great. But
but why?
I really don't think that it needs to be.
You're On Your Own Kid is the biggest snub to me, actually, of the whole night. The fact that she didn't do that song after like everyone was preparing and people just going home with their bags of fucking string and beads, not being able to exchange their friendship bracelet.
Sorry, everyone. But
bringing sacks of trash home.
This is like I told you when it first happened. I wasn't surprised. It didn't shock me. And then you like bit my head. It went viral on TikTok 10 times. I was like, well, I'm not defending it
shocked.
Not being on the set list. I'm just saying it doesn't shock me. I thought it would have gagged me, yes, but it would have surprised me also to have seen it there. I don't know why. It just, to me, it didn't seem like something that she would play every single night.
Definitely not. Actually, wait, no. I just said definitely not without listening to what you said, and then I thought about it, and actually I think she definitely would play it, and you're dumb for thinking that.
But she didn't.
Yeah.
So am I dumb or am I the genius?
But
ladies, am I dumb or am I the genius? Answer now.
James, what was that? Ending on Karma was the slay serve house down boots of the century.
But that being said, I love the Karma jackets. Love it. But that being said, like, there's nothing finale-ish really about it. She's just strutting and saying, Karma is my boyfriend. And then I watched it. I actually saw this one all the way through to the end and was like, that's it?
Well, hello? Where's the set piece? Like, this is why we can't have nice things. We had a fucking fountain.
Exactly.
Give me a fountain.
And they were going off. I loved it. But this is, I mean, she literally is just like, it's just me petting a cat. And pretending to be a cat on stage is plenty for these girlies to go home with. I mean, I understand it's the end of the show and she has done a lot. Like, I'm going to be very clear. I am well aware that she has been on the stage for 3 hours at this point. But I'm not saying she personally had to do anything. Wheel out
the stage.
A fucking giant cat or something. I don't care. The evil eye or whatever it is. That's the, you know what I mean? Do something. Anyway.
An effigy of Scooter Braun, and let's make like it's Guy Fawkes night and light him up.
Yeah, light him the fuck up. Everybody get out your fucking Guy Fawkes masks. Let's go.
Let's go.
V for Vendetta,
but
everybody.
I mean, overall, I have to say, it truly spectacular, endlessly surprising. I love to be gagged and surprised, and I was pretty much shocked all the way through.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to have been in this room with me as I was experiencing this tour, I mean, the energy in here was, I want to say the word foul. I mean, there was something occurring in this room. And like I've said a million times, when I got to my turn,
not what I thought you were going to say.
That's when I said, okay, so this is, what is this? I was really starting to think. She's never going to play a song for Midnight. And then she did. And I remember on my Instagram story when I was scrolling the Twitter, I was like, that's not real. There's no way she's doing all this. And she was. And she was.
She was.
But what I really want to get into with everybody is, if we think, I think at this point she has to, but does everybody think she's going to do the entire show, the entire tour, or if stuff is going to get cut? I think it's a crime against humanity if she does cut it, again, because my show is in July. At the end of July, it's literally like the third to last show, by the way. So pray for
this
me.
Always happens to you.
I mean, you always get
something cut.
It didn't happen to me on Rep. I'll tell you what. I was lucky. I was the lucky ducky. It seems like she switches starting in the West or starting in the East. And this year she started.
Did she cut anything from Rep though? No, right? Rep, nothing got cut.
Well, of course, the one tour that I'm actually there first thing, she doesn't cut anything. So I'm sure this tour, I wonder what's on the chopping block, everybody. Probably one of my favorite parts of the show.
Also, she's going to have to contend with weather. This is the thing. So like when she's contending with weather, what will they cut is the answer. Like sometimes they have to reduce the show by like 20 minutes. That's a lot of shit to cut. I think the Folklore Evermore sets are designed so that they can be cut down.
And to that I say, I'm going to kill myself. I mean, I don't, I'm unaware, you know, if anybody's aware, they can share in the comments or wherever and tell me. I don't know what happens in Seattle in July. I thought that the weather was perfecto, but you know, it is Seattle and, you know, it's the rainy, I mean, Forks, Washington, as everybody knows, where Twilight mm-hmm. took place. That is famous. In the same state. And let me tell you, it's raining. It rains. That's why the vampires went there. So I have this fear in my heart that my show is going to be rained upon, which is fine. Slay, rain show, slay. But the part that nobody talks about when it comes to the rain shows is that the chopping block comes out.
You are getting wet. Yeah.
Yep. And is there a – does anybody know if there's an Eras Tour poncho this year? There should be. There better be. I would buy that. Anyway, I feel like I'm going on a tangent. I'm just saying that I'm terrified she's going to cut my show in specific. And that is jail time. I will see you in jail, ma'am.
Yeah, she'll be going to jail for that, for sure.
Not everybody's going to 10 shows, Jackie. Not everybody's going to 10 shows. Some of us, at this time, mm-mm. only have one. Some of us only have one. So, yeah, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. It makes me really upset, even just thinking about it. So, moving on.
Well, that's a good place to stop. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And don't forget to go to patreon.com/wiftologist. If you want us monthly, that's where you'll find us. Mm-hmm. That's where we fucking are. Mm-hmm. $6 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes. And you know what? You actually get a lot more. We do a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. The past couple of days, maybe not so much just because the tour is going on and we're doing all this. But
we're doing this. Mm-hmm.
Trust me. There's a lot of information on there.
There's shit.
Yeah.
There's shit. Okay. Thank you. God bless you.